This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Artificial intelligence, particularly involving neural networks, has been a hot topic in recent years. AlphaGo, the computer that mastered the game of Go, quickly outshone human players and was a prime example of how this kind of AI can learn and deduce strategies. Now, this skill has been applied to the world of chemistry, as Sharmini is about to tell us.
Yes, thanks, Ben. I have been finding out all about chemistry this week and some of the challenges that AI may be able to help chemists with. Now, I have a vague idea about what it is that chemists do all day. I'm pretty sure it involves mixing lots of colourful things together in beakers. My chemist friends will almost certainly correct me on this next time I see them, but it'll do for now. What I didn't know until this week, however, was how people know which chemical reactions are needed and in which order to get a particular compound out the other end. It turns out an important skill, in order to be able to synthesise a particular drug or organic molecule, is to work backwards from the final product and figure out a reaction route. This is known as retrosynthesis. I called up longtime drug discovery researcher Derek Lowe to find out how it works.
For any kind of compound that needs to be synthesized, a chemist will look at a structure and start thinking, what could this come from? What reaction could I do to get to this? And there are chemists who have a reputation of being able to look at a complicated molecule and see how this thing rearranges, this carbon goes here, this thing ends up, it's just beautiful. It's like a magic trick when you see it.
So it sounds like chemistry is, in a way, quite a lot of guesswork. Obviously, it's not random guessing. Chemists are using their knowledge. But how has different technology thus far been able to change the field of chemistry and chemists' ability to build molecules?
When I was in graduate school, this is like the early to mid-1980s, there were still a lot of people who, when they saw a neat new reaction, oh, great, this is a way I can form a carbon-carbon bond between these things. When they'd see a neat new reaction, they would physically write it down on a 3x5 index card, because the chemistry literature is just huge. So you have to have something to keep track of this. But that all disappeared as it became more and more possible to search the literature by drawing structures into an online database and saying, okay, here's the starting material I have, and here's the product I want to make from it. What's out there? But stringing them together into a plan, that's still up to the chemist.
And I can understand how a computer might have access to a lot of information, but the challenge here is more the sort of guesswork part and the based on your knowledge which one of these is likely to work. And that's something that fits in really well with this sort of slightly newer field of neural networks as a form of artificial intelligence.
Well, there has been a lot of work in recent years on trying to get this kind of computer retrosynthesis to work. And there are some commercial programs out there that you can buy. But people had to sit down with the organic chemistry literature and say, okay, this can go to this, but only if there's not another group like this, and if the temperature is not too high, but if you have this other group, it can still work only if, and it just goes on and on and on. So the programs we have now are the result of a tremendous amount of labor. This new paper, though, is interesting because they didn't bother to do any of that. They used software that is much better at inferring the rules and transformations, and they just turned it loose on one of these big reaction databases and said, go to it. Look through all of these millions of reactions and get back to us. Figure out the rules on your own.
Thanks, Derek. Now, Derek's written a News and Views about this new paper, which reports on a piece of AI software that was programmed to look through existing chemical reactions and try to learn how to predict retrosynthetic routes for new molecules. I asked one of the authors of the new paper, Marvin Segler, to explain.
What we did in our paper was we take neural networks to predict the most promising reactions to use to build a molecule. And when we show the computer enough examples of how molecules have been made in the past, it can learn to generalize to new molecules and then can apply kind of the knowledge it has gained from all these historic examples to the novel molecules as well.
And why was it difficult to achieve, to get this computer to figure out which reactions are going to work and which ones won't?
Essentially, chemistry can't be really codified in a set of fixed rules, which a computer can then use to operate on. And what we try to do is to see if we can get the computer to kind of mimic the intuition that an expert would develop after seeing lots of examples of chemistry and running lots of experiments in the lab.
And when you started out on the project, how successful were you expecting your program to be?
Yeah, I mean, basically, when we started out with the project, we had no idea if it would work at all. I was surprised that it worked so well, basically, that it can then figure out on its own how to plan the synthesis. And then when we showed the outcomes to the chemists, that they couldn't basically distinguish the solutions that a computer would propose from solutions that humans had proposed, that was quite amazing.
That was Marvin Sagler. As he mentioned, their method for testing the program was to show the computer's work to some expert chemists alongside work from actual humans and to see if they could tell the difference, which they couldn't. I asked Derek Lowe how chemists like him feel about these kind of advances. Are people going to be thinking, hey, this robot's going to steal my job? Or is it going to be more, thank goodness we don't have to do that part anymore?
Aha. They're going to be thinking both of those at the same time in rapid alternation. It's going to be tricky because the natural feeling is, oh my God, you know, it's coming. I had that feeling back in about 1986. I saw video of this robot arm mixing reactions and moving things around. I thought, oh my God, someone has invented the mechanical graduate student. I'm in trouble. Fortunately, it didn't come on quite that quickly. But looking at this software, it's already fairly impressive, and it's just going to get better.
So are you out of a job?
No, thank God. Because what it's going to do is, it's going to move retrosynthesis, the sitting down and figuring out, okay, how am I going to make this molecule? It's going to turn that into grunt work that is better done by a machine. And that's going to free us up as chemists to think about more complicated stuff that the machines can't handle. We're going to be thinking more about what molecules should we make and why are we making them? Those are harder questions.
That was researcher and blogger Derek Lowe, who has written a News and Views article on the research. You also heard from Marvin Sagler. You can find his paper and the News and Views article over at nature.com/nature.